You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the FanSided Network. Happy Thursday, everybody. Happy Christmas Eve. And happy first Timberwolves victory of the 2020-2021 season. Today, we're going to talk all about Wolves Pistons from Wednesday night. It certainly was a bit of a roller coaster. And there's a lot to talk about, a lot to take away from this game, of course. As I promised on Wednesday's show, not too much to hang your hat on, positive or negative necessarily, because it is one game, but still, it's what we have to react to at the time, at this moment. So definitely going to probably, you know, I'll record this podcast and listen back to it here in a few weeks, and it may seem silly, but I'll react to what we saw on Wednesday night. And actually, I'm recording this right after the game Wednesday evening. It's fresh in the mind. I've got plenty of notes to go off of. So here we are, recording this Wednesday night after the game late and posting early on Thursday. So that'll be the majority of today's show. I'll do a quick kind of look ahead. The Wolves don't play again until Saturday. I have both Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off. Play Saturday and Sunday back to back in Utah and in LA against, I think, the Lakers on Sunday. So I'll do a quick preview on that here in a moment after we talk all things Wolves Pistons. So that'll be today's show. First, as always, a quick reminder, you can subscribe to the show anywhere that you like to get your podcasts: iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Also follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Live tweeting games this year, so be sure to follow us on Twitter. All right, so the way that I'm going to handle post-game or I guess game reaction this season. So last year I did kind of an overall game recap and then some studs and duds. Generally speaking, I'll probably do that. We'll do a quick kind of high points from the game recap, how the game flow went if you missed it, but nothing too lengthy there. And then I want to get into what the Wolves did, the adjustments that they made throughout the game, individual players. I won't necessarily do studs and duds today, but who played well, who didn't. And there's a pretty clear line there. There were 2-3 players that really did not play well, and the rest of the roster actually looked okay. It was just more of a cohesive team thing early offensively, and then in the middle parts of the game defensively. And, you know, that was an issue, but ultimately they pulled it together. So the way that this game went, it was a really sluggish start, and it wasn't all too different from what we saw oftentimes last year. It was just a really sluggish on both ends of the floor, surprisingly on offense too. The first set they ran was a corner three from Malik Beasley. It rimmed out. It was a, you know, not a bad shot. Next time down, I think it was a Josh Okogie missed three. Towns didn't touch the ball until the Wolves were already down like 8-0. The Pistons opened with a corner three, and then Malik Beasley trying to fight through a Blake Griffin screen got called for a foul. So it was a 4-point possession for the Pistons. The Wolves were down 8-0. They were down like, I think it was 14-4. Towns got into early foul trouble. Actually, Beasley went out with two fouls before the 8-minute mark, shortly followed by Karl-Anthony Towns. Basically is about as bad of a start as you could have. Wolves were down double digits. Towns, Beasley, both on the bench with two fouls apiece. Oh, and D'Angelo Russell didn't even start. It was reported in a few different places on Twitter that there was a delayed return on his COVID-19 test, and he missed shoot around, missed the start of the game. So he was on the bench in uniform and in warmups, but Rubio started, and it wasn't immediately clear why, but it sounds like it was COVID-related, or at least COVID testing-related, I should say. So Rubio started. Russell came off the bench for Rubio. The Wolves were already down double digits when he came into the game. And everything about the first quarter was just kind of, it was almost like a here we go again type feeling. The defense was bad. The offense was bad. In the second quarter with the Wolves down double digits, I think they were down 9 at the end of the first quarter. The Wolves switched to his own defense in the second quarter. At one point down as many as 14 points. It was really kind of a matchup zone, and it worked fairly well. The Wolves got themselves back into the game. The bench played okay, especially Anthony Edwards. We'll get into him individually here in a little bit, but he was aggressive. He was active both on the boards. He was operating well in the pick and roll, not only looking for his own shot, but some of the same things we saw in the Dallas preseason game where Edwards was actually creating for others, making the proper read as a ball handler out of the pick and roll, and frankly kept the Wolves in the game in the middle stages of the second quarter when the rest of the team was not playing well. Anthony Edwards was key to the Timberwolves staying in this game. And ultimately, they got it down to a one-point deficit by halftime. And it really kind of felt like, oh, maybe the tide's turning. The Wolves can kind of dominate the second half of this game like I think a lot of people expected them to do against what should be a pretty bad Detroit Pistons team. But actually, the third quarter did not go well. Russell did start the third quarter with the rest of the players who did start the game. And the Wolves got down a couple of possessions pretty early in the third quarter again. And the defense was actually more of an issue. The offense was clicking, but the Wolves simply couldn't stop the Pistons. They had gone back to man and then eventually reverted back to zone because they simply could not stay in front of the Pistons. Russell was having problems with Derrick Rose, a little bit with Killian Hayes. He was getting beat on back cuts, and the Wolves' interior defense was okay, but Towns was playing with foul trouble and was being careful. And actually, side note, of Towns' four fouls, I think three of them were offensive. One was just kind of a dumb foul after a rebound. I mean, just kind of careless fouls. He did a great job defending without fouling in the half court, but he made those silly mistakes that we're all too accustomed to seeing. Thankfully, he didn't commit any fouls simply from being out of position. It was just kind of offensive fouls and careless fouls and frustration fouls. But after Towns hit the bench with four personals late in the third quarter, he didn't have any other issues the rest of the game. So it wasn't a major storyline for this game, but it's always something to keep an eye on when it comes to Towns is foul trouble. In the fourth quarter, the Pistons mostly held the Wolves at not quite arm's length, but a couple of possessions length, if you will, until the Wolves actually took their first point, or the first lead of the game, I should say, with 3:38 left in the entire game. Karl-Anthony Towns hit a three-pointer. The Wolves took a 98-97 lead. That was their first lead in the game, believe it or not. They tied the game a couple of times, but simply couldn't seem to break through. And Towns had kind of a quick 5 points himself there. He hit a three, hit a couple of free throws. And then with the Wolves down one with just over 2 minutes left, the Wolves kind of went into, they just started running the offense through Karl-Anthony Towns, which they hadn't necessarily been doing throughout the game. But when it got to be crunch time in a one possession game, that's what they did. They ran kind of a wedge screen and roll to the right side of the floor. Towns ended up with the ball in the mid post and had a couple of options. Rubio screened again for him. Towns ultimately kicked out to D'Angelo Russell for a deep three that gave the Wolves a 2-point lead. Then the next time down the court, it was kind of the same set, but then Towns set a screen for Russell. There was a fake handoff from Towns to Russell. It gave Towns a kind of a half step. He drove towards the paint and then kicked to the left corner to Malik Beasley for a three-pointer that extended the Wolves lead to 106-101, a two-possession lead. And just a couple of similar play sets with a wrinkle that was just a little bit different, kind of a screen and rescreen from Rubio, allowing Towns and Russell to be the primary playmakers with Rubio involved as well, as he's a solid screener for a guard. And then Beasley was spotting up in the opposite corner on both possessions, spreading the floor. Okogie was the other guy on the floor, obviously not a great knockdown shooter by any stretch of the imagination, but a solid cutter and a good offensive rebounder. And that sort of a crunch time lineup worked, granted against the Pistons, but back-to-back sets, they got open threes, one for Russell and one for Beasley. And if you're going to lose the game, you're going to lose the game with those guys missing those shots. And Towns did an outstanding job being unselfish, kind of the middle portion of the game. He was almost too unselfish. It was almost like he was tentative after picking up a charging call against Blake Griffin, or Blake Griffin taking a charge on Towns. But at the end of the game, Towns was the appropriate balance of aggressive and smart when it came to his passing. I mean, he had the big three-pointer. He made a couple of big free throws. He had a couple of these really, really solid passes. And then next time down, up a couple of possessions, I think still up 106-101, he pump faked, drew a foul on the perimeter, had his foot on the line, ended up shooting two free throws. But he made both of them, and they went up 108-101, and that was basically the game at that point. So really down the stretch, seven big points, a couple of huge assists from Towns on 3-point shots. The Wolves just ran their entire offense through Towns with Russell and Rubio and Beasley as kind of the complementary pieces, and they won the game. It's simple as that, as bad as they played for much of the game. And then defensively, they stayed in a zone down the stretch, which is not typical. Oftentimes, teams aren't going to stay in the zone in crunch time, not against good shooting teams, at least. Against the Pistons, it worked. Detroit's not a great three-point shooting team. And so up a couple of possessions, the zone actually worked, trying to force, you know, funnel Derrick Rose, funnel Killian Hayes into the paint. And it worked on the stretch. And the Wolves ended up holding the Pistons scoreless over the final couple minutes of the game. So really good coaching job, actually, by Ryan Saunders down the stretch, and solid execution by the Timberwolves as well. What I want to do next is kind of get into just some quick hitting overarching points from the game, and then also some individual performances. There were a couple of players I haven't mentioned at all yet that did not play well. Then there were some players that were a solidly mixed bag in this game. There were a couple of players that were outstanding. So I want to kind of hit, you know, two or three maybe in each category for this game in particular, and then do some quick previews for the upcoming games for the weekend. Before we do that, though, let's talk about our great friends at betonline.ag. Not only is the NBA season now underway, but college football is heading into bowl season. There are some massive college football matchups this week, plus the NFL regular season just has 2 weeks left. The playoff picture is becoming ever more clear. There's only one place that has you covered and one place that we here at Lockdown NBA trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. NFL games of the week, college football big games this week, and of course, the start of the NBA season. You know, tons of big Christmas Day games that you could bet on. There's five games on Christmas Day, plus a couple of Wolves games this weekend. Tons of NBA action. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in on said action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline_AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Your free account and promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% sign up bonus. All right, today is Christmas Eve. Tomorrow's Christmas, and the holidays are all about giving. So I'm giving you a hot tip that could earn you some extra cash. The new Locked On Bets podcast is hosted by Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. Lee is red hot to start the season, and he shares a lock of the day on every single episode. Subscribe to Locked On Bets today wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's talk about some individual performances, basically studs and duds. I'm not going to make it quite that clean this time around because it's the first game. I feel like I want to talk about basically everyone that saw the floor. Malik Beasley, let's talk about him first. So he started the game 0-5 from the floor, looked miserable in the first half, pretty disengaged defensively, kind of like he did for much of the first couple of preseason games. Really, I guess, six of the first eight quarters of the preseason. And of course, he had a good game in Dallas. But he started 0-5 from the floor, and then the rest of the game, he was 10-13 shooting, had some nice deflections defensively, actually D'd up Blake Griffin a couple of times, and was just overall solid. For the night, Malik Beasley finished with 23 points on 10 of 18 shooting, 3 of 9 from beyond the arc. Of course, the massive three in the left corner to give the Wolves a two-possession lead with just over a minute left. 4 rebounds, 2 assists, only 1 turnover, a steal in this game. He was a plus 12. Did not get to the free throw line, had a couple of nice plays in transition, and was generally, you know, you take the his whole body of work in this game, and he was a plus. He was a good player in this game. He was solid defensively and great offensively in the second half. The first half was a half to forget. If Beasley can just kind of iron this out and be solid throughout the game instead of just basically having just an awful half and a great half, that would be better. But hey, if the Wolves get 23 points on 18 shots, 3 of 9 from 3, I mean, that's pretty close to what you want to see from Beasley combined with the solid defense. But if he can be closer to the guy he was in the second half, the Wolves are going to have, not a bargain, but they're going to have a solid deal on their hands when it comes to the amount of money they're paying him over the next couple of years, 3 years, I guess, or 4 years. If he plays like this, the Wolves aren't going to let him walk after 3 when they have the option. But at any rate, solid overall game from him, even if it was a bit uneven, especially early. Karl-Anthony Towns was awesome, except for his silly foul trouble. His line ended up looking pretty on par with what we're going to see throughout the year. 22 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. He did have 4 turnovers. He got over passing a little bit, and he had a couple of offensive fouls. But make no mistake, I mean, 22 points on 10 shots is always a good game. 6 of 10 shooting, just 2 of 4 beyond the arc. He only attempted 4 threes on the night. A perfect 8 of 8 from the free throw line. In only 30 minutes, if you can get 22, 11, and 7 with a couple of blocks and 8 of 8 from the free throw line from Towns on a nightly basis in only 30 minutes, you're in good shape. I think he's going to have gaudier lines throughout the year, certainly, but this was, given especially the early offensive foul trouble and generally a solid defensive performance from Towns, a really good game for Karl-Anthony Towns. So I think that's notable. As for D'Angelo Russell, he was solid throughout. A little trigger happy at times, but that's what you're going to get from D'Lo. He had 18 points, but it took him 16 shots to do it. 4 of 11 on threes, but he hit a couple of huge deep threes that otherwise seemed ill-advised in the second half. But in classic D'Lo fashion, he made them, and it reminded you that the Wolves have never had a shot maker at the point guard position like D'Angelo Russell. 18 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 turnovers. He did have a steal. Did not get to the free throw line. He, especially early in the game, was settling for some of these tough mid-range jumpers that he seems to make more often than not, than actually keeping his dribble alive and getting into the painted area. But it seems to work out with Russell offensively. He did struggle defensively, which is par for the course for D'Lo, and hopefully that's something that he can at some point clean up at least a little bit. But generally speaking, it was an okay game for Russell. Ricky Rubio didn't have a great game. But he made up for a lot of it with back-to-back steals that led to back-to-back transition buckets for the Timberwolves when they were on the comeback trail in the fourth quarter. His final line was 3 points, 3 assists, 2 steals, a turnover, only 1 rebound. 1 of 4 shooting, that included a 3-pointer off the side of the backboard and 2 missed layups were his 3 misses. It was basically like a Rubio game that you would have seen in his second or third year in the league with the Timberwolves, where he played well. He just didn't shoot the ball well and really struggled to finish at the rim. Not as typical as the Rubio of Phoenix and the Rubio of Utah a couple of years ago as well. I would expect him to shoot the ball better moving forward. He's probably not going to have quite as big of an offensive role as he may have, especially in Utah a couple of years ago. But this was just kind of a weird, kind of classic old school Rubio Timberwolves game. And of course, he started the game and won't typically be a starter for this team. At least it doesn't look like it early. But huge couple of steals in the fourth quarter. And, you know, it was a below average game for Rubio, but had a couple of big possessions. Anthony Edwards was the Timberwolves, probably their second or third best player on the court in this one after Towns and maybe Beasley. I mentioned this earlier. He basically kept the Timberwolves in the game in the second quarter. He had a couple of really impressive buckets, a couple of really nice assists. His overall line for the game in this one was 15 points. He shot 5 of 12, just 1 of 5 beyond the arc, but he made all 4 free throw attempts. 4 assists, 4 rebounds, just 1 turnover. He actually had a really strong basket in the second half when the Wolves went on a mini 7-0 run in the half court. Edwards got into the paint, attacked, made a nice reverse layup, going from the right to left side of the hoop, and just completely looked like he belonged in this game. In 25 minutes, 15, 4 and 4, only 1 turnover, 5 of 12 shooting. If he can get to the free throw line 4 times a game, if he's only playing 25 minutes, that's huge. If he can shoot 3 to 4 free throws a game, if he can, you know, 1 of 5 on 3-pointers isn't ideal. There were a couple of open looks that he missed, but he was so good in the paint. And it was the perfect balance of attacking when he needed to attack, passing when he needed to pass the ball. He didn't push things like he did at times in the preseason. You really couldn't have asked for more out of Anthony Edwards in this game. And this is coming from someone, if you've listened to this podcast consistently, I was petrified of Edwards as a prospect. And I remain, petrified is a strong word now after seeing him in the preseason and in game one of his actual regular season NBA career. I'm dubious still because of his prospect profile, his college performance. But the early returns are fantastic, and I will eat my crow. I will say he is nothing like Andrew Wiggins if this continues throughout the season. I hope that I was wrong, because he has looked really, really good as an NBA player outside of pressing at times. But that's really kind of what you want. Is he's going to make mistakes of aggression. He's going to play hard. There were a couple of plays in transition. He maybe could have gotten back. You can say that about almost everyone on the court for the Wolves in this game, especially early. There were some issues in transition, issues defensively. So I'm not going to pick on those. I was really impressed, and I'm encouraged with Anthony Edwards, to be sure. Naz Reid was kind of a tale of two stints. He was bad early when he came in for Towns with the early foul trouble, and was actually bad early in the third quarter too, but then had a really strong stretch where he stripped the ball, got a couple of blocks in a row. There was a play where he stripped the ball from, I think it was Plumlee. It was a loose ball on the floor. The Pistons got the ball back. Naz came up with a block. I think he got a block the next time down the floor. Finished with 8 points, 5 rebounds, 3 blocks, and an assist. No turnovers in 18 minutes, 2 of 5 shooting. He did miss his only 3-point attempt, and it was an open attempt. 4 of 6 from the free throw line. There were moments in the first half of this game. The Wolves gave up, 34 points in the first quarter to the Pistons. And I thought to myself, why is Ed Davis not in the game? Ed Davis is the guy that should be playing right now. They need defense. They don't need Naz Reid, out here playing bad defense and trying to stop you know, Derrick Rose putting him on skates in the paint, basically going right through him to the rim. But Naz's third quarter stint was a lot better. He struggled a little to start the fourth quarter, but largely this was okay from Naz Reid for only having played in one preseason game. 8, 5, and 3 blocks in 18 minutes was okay. But in certain games, Ed Davis is going to be the guy that you're going to want to see in the game. If the Wolves are looking for some additional toughness and defense and rebounding, Naz isn't always going to be your guy, but that third quarter stint was strong. Jarrett Culver was good. He only played 21 minutes, 10 points. He had 10 rebounds in 21 minutes, 4 of 5 from the free throw line, 3 of 6 shooting, 2 assists, no turnovers, +7, which was the best plus minus mark off the bench in this game. Jarrett Culver, again, similar to Anthony Edwards, pleasantly surprised, great early returns on 3 preseason games, +1 regular season game. Looked really, really good. And the Wolves are going to have a tough time keeping him off the court, you know, at any point, really, not just in crunch time, but at any point in the game. He was arguably the Wolves' 4th best player in this game after Towns, Beasley, and Edwards. You can make the argument that Jarrett Culver was the next best player on the floor for the Minnesota Timberwolves, to be sure. Next, I want to talk about a couple players who did not play well in this game, and then we'll do a quick preview of the weekend games upcoming for the Timberwolves. Locked On Women's Basketball is the only daily podcast covering the world of women's hoops. Join an all-star cast of hosts each day of the week for a comprehensive look at the worlds of the WNBA, women's college basketball, and international competition that you simply won't find anywhere else. Subscribe to Locked On Women's Basketball on your favorite podcast provider. All right, stop me if you've heard this one before. The Timberwolves have an issue at power forward. They do. They have an issue at the four. So much so, in fact, that down the stretch of this game, with Blake Griffin on the floor for the Pistons, the Wolves had, and now granted, they started the game with Josh Okogie guarding Blake Griffin, even though Jake Layman was technically the starter at the four. But the Wolves played crunch time with D'Angelo Russell and Ricky Rubio in the backcourt, Josh Okogie and Malik Beasley on the wing, and Towns at the five. That meant that Josh Okogie was the de facto four in this lineup. Jake Layman had an awful game. Juancho Hernan Gomez had somehow an even worse game. And collectively, those two together played 29 minutes. They shot 0 of 8 from the floor, 0 of 5 from beyond the arc. They combined for 4 rebounds. The only other counting stat, 1 steal. No assists, no blocks, no turnovers, in fact, because they barely handled the ball at all. They had 4 rebounds, 1 steal combined. That's it. No points. Juancho had 12 minutes off the bench, was unplayable, basically. By the time he got off the floor in the third quarter, you knew that that was the end of his night. Layman wasn't much better. He missed a layup at the rim, took a bad three-pointer, and then didn't get back on defense that allowed the Pistons to get an easy dunk on the, or an easy layup on the other end. And he was a minus 15. Juancho was a minus 7 in just 12 minutes. And this isn't going to be an every night thing. I do think that Layman and Juancho are both rotation type guys, but can you crowdsource this 4 spot between Layman, Juancho, and Josh Okogie? Maybe. I mean, if Edwards and Culver play like they did in this game, you could probably do that against most teams, although Okogie is going to run into some issues. I still think he's going to struggle a bit guarding the 4, despite, you know, as much as Ryan Saunders wants to talk about his effective height because of his wingspan and all that, I think he'll be fine against many 4s, but in not every situation will Josh Okogie or Jake Layman, for that matter, be a great solution at the 4, especially defensively. So this team still has an issue at the 4. They're still on the lookout for a 4. If it's Aaron Gordon, John Collins, somebody else, they're going to be looking for a guy to plug in at the power forward next to Towns, PJ Tucker, maybe. Obviously Gordon and Collins would be more long-term fixes, whereas Tucker is more of a band-aid to get you to the playoffs this year, hopefully. But they need somebody who can play heavier minutes at the 4 consistently. This rotation of Juancho, Layman, Okogie, whoever else may or may not work depending on the night. This was the Detroit Pistons, who are probably going to win 15 games this year. It's not going to work against the LA Lakers this weekend. It's not going to work against the Clippers. You know, it's probably not going to work against the Utah Jazz. So, That's the one spot to keep an eye out for, to where the Wolves could and I think will make a move before this year's over. Both those guys just had miserable nights. And again, I don't expect that. I like both of them as players. I think they will both be solid rotation guys. But I mean, about as bad of a 29-minute, you know, combined 29 minutes between Layman and Hernan Gomez that you're gonna get. All right, let's talk. So I guess to put a bow first